Today, the exercise is a review of molecular geometry, which your lab exercise has the same geometries that we covered in class, but it organizes them in a way that I don't think I had talked about in lecture. And I want to use slightly different terminology than what is in your lab text to match a little better the terminology that we'd have in the general chemistry text. I want to define this term electron pair geometry. If you can recall, a molecule like methane, CH4, which has four equal bonds in it, that's going to make a shape that's called tetrahedral, where all the sides and angles are exactly equal to each other. If we look at a shape like ammonia, NH3, it's very similar, except it has a lone pair instead of four bonds. So it's got three bonds and a lone pair. The angle that we have between bonds in tetrahedral is 109.5. The angle we have in the other shape, which is trigonal pyramidal, is 107, which means they're almost identical to each other. So if we ignore these differences between bonds and lone pairs, then we can group shapes together into families. And if you look at the lab text, there's only three families that we cover here. And that's because for any element that's on the first two rows of the periodic table, we can't go beyond an octet. So if an octet's eight electrons, and if a bond is two electrons each, that means we can't go beyond four bonds. But I think that in doing Lewis dot structures last time, I talked about sulfur, which is able to violate the octet rule. So there are some other families that are larger, that have more shapes, that we just don't happen to be covering here. So as far as the shape families that we have, they're grouped into three categories, and again, they're based off of ignoring these differences between bonding and lone pairs. And that's what electron pair geometry is. That's the geometry that a molecule will adopt ignoring the difference between bonding and lone pairs. So I think your lab text refers to molecular geometry and then to molecular shape. So the term molecular geometry, that would normally be called electron pair geometry. That's that family term. And then molecular shape, that's the true molecular geometry, what shape we really call it. So the first family we look at is where we have a total number of electron pairs equal to 4. And in this counting, single, double, and triple bonds all count as the same, which I can't remember if we had talked about this in lecture at all or not, but if you have a double bond, it turns out you can only have two electrons that are directly between two different atoms. For any of the additional bonds, the electrons are found on either side of that first pair of electrons. So if we're looking at things repelling, the things that are directly in between atoms, a single, a double, or triple bond, they only have one pair of electrons directly in between. So we count them all the same for coming up with the total number of electron pairs. So within this family, we can look at the number of lone pairs. And the first example is for something like methane, where we have four equal bonds, which means no lone pairs, so both the family, the electron pair geometry, and the actual, the molecular geometry, they're both tetrahedral. and not that I'm going to make you memorize it, but this would have a bond angle of 109.5 degrees. Now, related, I already mentioned, is the molecule ammonia. So in ammonia, we have a total of four pairs of electrons around the nitrogen, around the center atom, but one of them is a lone pair instead of a bonding pair. Because the shape is almost identical, it's still in this tetrahedral family, but it's no longer completely equal, so its true shape is trigonal pyramidal. And the question's come up, I think, in the other section, why is it trigonal instead of triangular? Can we use the term triangular? And the answer is, well, technically no. The reason is, in order to have a triangle, we would need to make connections between the hydrogens to make a true triangle shape. This is more like the spokes of a wheel that are in a sort of triangular arrangement, but that's why it's called trigonal instead. And then there are actually three different trigonal shapes. One of those shapes is in a family that we haven't covered, one where you end up having five pairs of electrons around, and that's called trigonal bipyramidal. Here, this is the trigonal pyramidal shape, which we have because of the lone pair. If we only had three bonds, which we'll see that shape in just a moment, then that's the trigonal planar shape. So anytime you use the term trigonal, there's some other word that you have to put afterwards to define which shape you're talking about. So because of that lone pair, it pushes the hydrogens a little bit closer together. So the bond angle here has shrunk to about 107 degrees. Then the last shape in that family is represented by water, where we still have four pairs total. That bond angle is still roughly the same. It's about 105 degrees. So it's still in the tetrahedral family, but it's only got two atoms in it. Otherwise, it's just lone pairs. So the shape is called bent. So that's the first shape family with four pairs total. Now, if we look at the next family, that's where you have three pairs of electrons total. And there's only two shapes that are in that family. The first is the trigonal planar shape I was referring to earlier. And that's represented by the molecule BH3, borane. So the family name is trigonal planar. So that's what we get when we have three pairs around the center atom. But the true actual geometry in this case is the same, trigonal planar, because we've got three bonds. The other shape, which we haven't seen an example before, is if you have two bonds and a lone pair, which nitrite, NO2 minus, that's an example of this kind of shape. So it's still in the trigonal planar family, which I forgot to say for the molecule up above, since this is a triangular shape, a circle cut in three, that means it's going to have a 120 degree angle. Now, I don't happen to remember this angle for this shape, because even in the more advanced classes, this is an angle I never make people memorize. But I'll say it's going to be less than 120 degrees because we've got that lone pair there. And similar to water, because we've only got two atoms attached to the center, this is another form of bent shape. So these are the only two shapes in this family. The last family only has one member in it. And that's if you have two atoms with no lone pairs. Because if you had, two bonds and no lone pairs. Because if all you had is a bond, just a single bond, well, that's automatically linear. But in this case, two bonds attach the central atom. That's going to be a linear shape, which, of course, if we're cutting a circle just in half, that's going to make it a 180 degree angle. So for this exercise, it says that you're supposed to come up with the shape names, but it also wants you to build molecular models to observe the shapes. Now, for some of you, that might be useful if you wanted to visualize the shapes, but I'm going to make that optional because I found that for a lot of people, it doesn't really show you that much. Yes, you get to see the shape, but a lot of people are able to visualize it just by looking at the page. So there are actually two parts of the exercise, one where you're given the molecular formulas and you're supposed to come up with the shape names, and then part B where you're supposed to take a set of molecules and come up with the shapes. So like I said, since I don't always find that very useful, we're going to skip the part B. So all you have to do is part A. If you want to check out the models and make the shapes, you're more than welcome to, but you're not required to. So you just need to be able to come up with the shape, and then you also need to come up with whether the molecule is polar or not, which there are two reasons why you would end up with something that's polar, but I guess let me remind you about why something would not be polar. So in this last shape with beryllium hydride, you wouldn't know it because of the positions that they have on the periodic table, but it turns out that hydrogen is more electronegative than beryllium. So if you're looking at between the bond of beryllium and hydrogen, the electrons are pulled a bit more towards the hydrogen. Remember, there's two different ways we have to show that. I've used these delta signs in the past to show that something's a little bit charged, so a delta plus or a delta minus. But the other way to do it is with an arrow like this, where the head of the arrow is pointing to where the electrons are drawn to, and then the tail of the arrow has a plus sign to show where there's less electron density hanging around. So since these are two equal bonds, that means they have poles that are equal but in exactly opposite directions. And that's exactly the situation that we end up with a nonpolar molecule. Because if electrons are being pulled equally in exactly opposite directions, then from the outside perspective, it's like there's no difference across the molecule. So the way that we end up with something that is polar is having some kind of asymmetry, where there's some lack of balance in the molecular shape. And there's two ways that that can happen. So molecules will be polar if one case, if we're talking about just the shapes that we have in this exercise, is if there are any lone pairs. Because for any of these smaller shapes, shapes with smaller numbers of electron pairs, there's no way to balance out that lone pair anyway. So automatically then, if you have a lone pair, you're going to have a shape that's not balanced, which means it's going to be polar. So it'll be polar if there are lone pairs around the central atom. Now I'm going to add this statement, though, that this is true for all shapes with four or less electron pairs. Because if we did look at some of the other shape families, ones where there are more lone pairs, there are two shapes where you end up with lone pairs that are balanced out. So in those other families, you have to be a little bit more selective. There are shapes with lone pairs that are not polar. But we don't have any of those shapes, so it's an easy rule to remember. If you have a lone pair on the center, it's going to be polar. The other way that you can have something that's polar is if you don't have all of the same atom surrounding the central atom. So even if you had a tetrahedral shape, if you had different atoms attached on the outside, they'd be different bonds. So those bonds wouldn't all balance and cancel each other out. So then you would end up with something that's polar. So the other way to have something that's polar is if the atoms attached to the center atom are not all the same. So, for the exercise, you've got just the one page for part A, where you need to come up with the molecular shapes, need to come up with their polar or not. I'll give you some time to do it here in class. We'll go over the answers after a little while, and you'll turn it in, and that'll be it for the exercise today. So let's go ahead and get started on that, and then afterwards, there's plenty of time if any of you do come up with any questions that you wanted to talk about. The first molecule you had in your exercise, to rewrite it the way that we would normally do it, with lines instead of dots, this is ammonia. So we have four pairs total around the center, but one of them is a lone pair. And so that makes the shape trigonal pyramidal, which, because it's got that lone pair, that means it's going to end up being polar. For the next one, this is what would be called chloromethane. The chloro means we take regular methane, CH4, and we replace one of the hydrogens with a chlorine instead. So it has four pairs total, but they're all bonds, so no lone pairs. And even though a carbon-hydrogen bond would be slightly different than a carbon-chlorine bond, they're similar enough that the shape itself would still be tetrahedral. But because they're not all the same bond, then that means the molecule is going to end up being polar. So this is that second case that I talked about earlier, where even if the shape might be balanced, if you don't have all the same atom around the center, then you can still end up with something that's polar. The next one is hydrogen sulfide, which has the same shape as water, it's just it's got sulfur in the center instead of oxygen. So there's four pairs of electrons total, but there are two lone pairs. So just like water, it's a bent shape, and just like water, it's going to be polar. The next one is carbon dioxide, which I think we've done this Lewis structure before. Remember that double bonds count the same way as single bonds, and so we count this as only having two pairs total around the center atom, and there are no lone pairs on the center atom. So that makes the shape linear. And since it's oxygen on either side, the same atom on either side, this is the one molecule that ends up being non-polar. So next one is sulfur dioxide. Which, if you wrote formal charges in, this is the one shape that would technically have formal charges on it. It's very similar to nitrite, then, where we end up with three pairs total, with one of those being a lone pair on the center. So that means this is another bent shape, which means it's going to be polar. The next one is one we've talked about in class before, in lecture. So that's hydrogen cyanide. That, again, counting the triple bond once, we have two pairs total around the center and no lone pairs. And because there's only the two bonds, that means it's linear. But because it's not the same bond on either side, that means it's another case of it being polar. Then the last molecule is formaldehyde, which I think came up in our Lewis structure exercise last time. This one has three pairs total, and no lone pairs. So again, ignoring the small difference in the types of bonds, the shape is still trigonal planar. But because they are different bonds, this molecule is going to end up being polar.